Most of the provisions in the measure would reduce government revenue. I don't know if I would view it as limiting government revenue. It reduces various taxes and charges imposed on various activities, but it doesn't limit the amount of revenue that government can generate from those sources. And so I'm troubled somewhat with what the single subject would be, as well as there's a couple of components within the measure that make me wonder whether those provisions would fit within a single subject, especially those dealing with the state refunding money to pay for charges imposed by other local governments in violation of the measure, because that would affect state spending, the amount of revenue that the state has available to fund various state programs. Also, the voter approval requirements that would be imposed by the measure in terms of certain types of charges that currently aren't subject to voter approval. The actions may result in lower revenue, but I don't know if it limits government revenue. I mean, there is a reduction, but I guess I think of a limit more like perhaps the fiscal year spending limits or the property tax limit imposed by Tabor or the 6% limit, which is currently being debated as to whether that's a limit, in terms of that it limits total dollars rather than certain tax rate reductions or reductions in the amount of charges imposed are actual limitations on revenue. And so I find those troubling in the sense that you have a bunch of different actions being taken by this measure that I don't know if they're really dependent or connected upon each other. I mean, you could pick or choose, and sort of the concern about log rolling. Someone might be in favor of an income tax reduction, but not the specific ownership tax reduction. Or they might be in favor of voter approval requirement, but not the prohibition of charges on telecommunication accounts. And so I'm somewhat troubled by that, but that's sort of where I am right now. So I'm not very comfortable in finding that it constitutes a single subject.
Can I just, by way of clarification, I may not follow part of what you were saying. Why would the measure not even reduce government revenue? Was it because there could be increased transactions, or?
I don't deny that it would reduce revenue in terms of current rates or amounts that are imposed. It would reduce per transaction the amount of revenue generated by that action. But yeah, you could have, you know, I don't know if it would happen in this economy. A lot of people go out and buy new cars so that you'd have a lot more sales tax. Yeah, so it doesn't really limit the aggregate amount of revenue generated from these various sources. It's just reducing the rate at which the tax or the charge is being imposed. And it may be just because of the way I generally think of the term limitation or limit rather than anything else.
Mr. Domenico?
I think that I initially shared a little bit of that concern, but partly I think that's because we may be taking kind of a fairly technical, applying a fairly technical understanding of both the term revenue and the term limit. But I think what this definitely every part of it does is limits. Puts limits on sources of government revenue. It either eliminates some at least eliminates them unless there's a future vote, or it puts a lower rate, that sort of limit. And so in that sense, I think that they're all tied together. And sure, someone could favor lowering income tax but want to raise vehicle fees and taxes. But relative to things we've approved in the past, such as that were clear log rolling, I thought, such as raising a tax and then directing the increased revenue to certain completely unrelated sources. I originally thought this was sort of the flip side of that, but I think that this is even less troubling than that. I mean, the flip side of that would be something that does something sort of like that, like this, lowers revenue or puts limits on revenue, and then says, with all these savings, we will eliminate these 8 programs. And to me, this is sort of the flip side. You do have limits being placed on a number of sources of revenue, but there's nothing I can see in the precedents, especially recently from the Supreme Court, that suggests that things that are pretty obviously tied together by the idea of trying to cut back on the ways the government can collect money from people doesn't constitute a single subject as that provision's been interpreted recently.
Can I add anything?
Go ahead, Mr. Gross.
You know, government gets its revenue from taxes and fees. Main sources, they get their revenue. And this limits both of those. So the amount of sources you have will be limited, and the total dollar figure will be limited. And it would be noticeable over the long run. It's phased in over 4 years. But over a 10-year period, you'd feel some impact. It's not a massive impact, but I don't think the amount of new cars bought or anything else will outrun it. So it is a tax cut and tax reduction measure, without a doubt.
Any further discussion by the board? If not, is there a motion?
I move that the board find that the measure constitutes a single subject.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
That motion carries 2-1. Then let's move to the title setting. We have the staff prepared draft. We have the draft that's suggested by proponents. And Mr. Gross, you've seen the staff prepared draft, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, I have.
Would you like to go ahead? I'm sure you've got some things you'd like to say about why you prefer your version.
Okay. I would like to first point out that the staff's version is 249 words, according to my count. I counted it manually. It's 249 words. My petition is 283 words. So you have a title that's nearly as long as the petition. And I don't think that meets the requirements of clear and concise and brevity and clarity on your part. And my title is 45 words. So if we can compromise and be in the middle, I'd be good with that. But that's absurd. That's basically, you've just reiterated the petition. And I think the end effect will be to put off potential voters. I think that'll just scare people away. That just reiterated the petition, and I think we can do better.
Okay, thank you. Discussion by the board. I like the simplicity and the brevity of proponent suggestion, and I don't particularly like the detail that's in the staff draft. There seems like there's not much of a middle ground. I mean, I what I don't like about the proponent suggestion is it's maybe a little overly simplified, but there's a lot going on here. But once you start trying to say more, it seems like you end up with a lengthy enumeration of all of the changes, such as we end up with in the staff draft. And right off, I don't know how to, like I say, find a middle ground on that. I personally am probably leaning more towards the proponent's approach on this. If we were to go in that direction, I would probably like to more clearly express the single subject, which is a requirement that we have. As the Constitution says, the title has to clearly express the single subject. And that's why typically we have structured them concerning a subject and in connection therewith. And I know that in connection therewith does not read as well. I like the way that this proponent's title reads, but I'm not sure it as clearly articulates a single subject as I would like. In trying to articulate a single subject, I'm actually kind of interested in something Mr. Domenico said, that maybe it should be concerning government sources of revenue or something like that. But I guess for openers, I'd say I'm leaning more towards the proponent's approach on this than the staff draft.
If I may.
Mr. Domenico.
I think I agree with pretty much everything you said in there. I do think there's a slight middle ground that the staff draft has way more detail than we typically have, and even in things that are sort of similar to this. But I do think that you could include a little bit more detail without necessarily every number that's in the measure. You could include maybe a statement for decreasing ownership taxes, ceasing all the other taxes on vehicles. And there may be a way to kind of come up in between without having to get into four equal rate, equal amounts over 4 years, that sort of thing. I would, as to the single subject, my suggestion would have been concerning limits on sources of government revenue, I think. I think that wasn't too far off from what you said, mm-hmm. except I don't think you included the word limit, which I think is important.
Yeah, I agree with that. Ms. Eubanks.
And I'm not adverse to trying a more simplified approach to the title. There are a couple of concepts that the proponent's draft didn't include that I think are important, and one is the voter approval requirement for the different types of charges, because I think that is a major change, as well as the state's obligation to audit and refund monies that are wrongly collected. Again, I think those are important components, mm-hmm. major components of the measure that should be included in any title.
I think that's a good point.
Okay. I didn't add the enforcement because I just assumed when you vote for something.
Well, I think it's the refund part that may be more of a surprise, that the state would be obligated to refund monies that were wrongly collected by a local government, based on your statements.
Would the board want to perhaps start with the staff draft along the lines Mr. Domenico was suggesting and maybe edit that down? I think that would be my suggestion.
That works for me.
I think I would suggest then in line one, after concerning, insert limits on sources of.
Sources of?
Correct. And then in line two, strike the word limits. So that the single subject would read concerning limits on sources of government revenue. Any discussion? I'll move that change.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Other suggestions then to the staff draft?
Well, I guess I would start by just eliminating pretty much on lines 3 and 4 everything after the words taxes all the way up to the semicolon on line 4. Be where I might start.
Okay.
That approach?
Mr. Gross?
Yeah, I have another handout that I'd like to hand to you.
Okay.
Help, not necessarily. You guys seem to be moving right. This could help. This one's only 100 words.
Is plan B?
It doesn't meet all of Sharon's concerns, but
so, partly to state the obvious, I guess, and partly for the benefit of anybody who might be listening, then I think the proposal then is simplifying compared to what the language of the staff draft says, but simplifying the language a little bit after the statement of the single subject. So I think it would mean saying something like concerning limits on sources of government revenue and comma in connection with comma. And I'm trying to fit that in here. Maybe it would be starting in 2011, reducing vehicle ownership taxes over 4 years to $2 and $1, and so forth. It would become some ing words, I think, using the alternative draft that Mr. Gross has submitted to the board.
Yeah, I mean, I like this basic direction. It is where I was heading, and probably even has a little more detail than I was going to leave in, but it doesn't, that of detail's not harmful, I don't think. Although it doesn't address Ms. Eubanks' two concerns, as proponent noted.
Ms. Eubanks, would it make sense to try to work this into the staff draft, knowing that when there may be some things in the staff draft and that I would support retaining, I'm assuming they're in there, but with respect to some of the detail in the staff draft, maybe we can either edit out what Mr. Gross's alternative draft drops, or
my guess would be that it might be easy, rather than editing out, because I think we'd be editing out a lot, it may be better to start perhaps with Mr. Gross's second submittal for a title and then sort of add where we need or even remove some details, because I agree, I don't know if we need to say, you know, to $2 and $1, for example, on the specific ownership tax, whether we need to get that specific, but sure, I think it'd be easier because I think we'd be taking out a lot of stuff from the staff draft. But since Ceci has it on the screen, whether
do you want me to type this in?
Do you want to just start typing in as we go? Maybe just starting in line 4, and then we'll end up dropping everything that we're covering. You know, right before where Ceci has the cursor. Start inserting language from Mr. Gross's draft.
So we start with it starting in 2011, or where?
And I'm not sure where to put that clause, but I think it would be that for starters, it would be starting in 2011, comma. We may want. I wanted to leave open the possibility of relocating that, but starting in 2011, comma, and I believe it's reducing vehicle ownership taxes over 4 years to $2 and $1, and I don't know whether we need to leave that in, the $2 and $1.
Okay.
and then semicolon, and maybe stop at that point right there. I mean, you can keep typing, but I was thinking we perhaps should pause on that clause and see, for example, I think Ms. Eubanks was saying maybe we don't need the $2 and $1 reference. I was wondering about moving the starting in 2011 to the end of the clause. I mean, we could say just reducing vehicle ownership taxes over 4 years starting in 2011.
Well, although I think the 2011 applies to most all of the
changes.
Oh,
that's right. Okay.
And so whether or not...
Yeah, I think if you're going to have the 2011 in there at all, it should be at the...
At the very beginning.
Applies to all
of
them.
So I think where it is, perhaps, is a good place.
Okay.
Although you can get rid of...
The language
part of 2 and 3.
Yeah.
We already got the ownership taxes, but
yeah, you can just delete the decreasing
up on 2
all the way down to yeah,
all the way to where the strike type already is.
That can all be deleted.
3.
As to the $2 and $1, I don't know that it's necessary. I don't know that it hurts. I frankly don't know what... Is that a major change? Are they hundreds of dollars now? Or where?
Well, I think it depends, yeah,
it's
on the vehicle. I mean, the $2 and the $1 doesn't, without a reference to new vehicles versus all other vehicles, it's not really put in context as to why... Dollars versus $1, and
yeah.
I just don't know. You know, the detail, that detail is important.
Well, I agree. If it's going to be in there, it should say new dollar, new
vehicle.
It should explain what the two and what the one applies to. I don't know. Maybe the proponent can tell us if it's critical to have the dollar amounts in there.
Well, 2 is for new vehicles and 1 is for everything else. That's correct. It's not critical. It just shows that they're going to be reduced down to, you know.
Right.
And if it wasn't for, you know, a technicality of the Constitution, it would be reduced to nothing. 2 and 1 is to meet the graduated tax requirement in the Constitution. So...
Can't repeal it, but perhaps.
But the legislator can. They can ask us to repeal it, and then that whole line can be struck since this is a statute. So we can fix it later.
Instead of having dollars, whether we could say reducing vehicle ownership taxes over 4 years to nominal amounts. If we even think that's important, I mean, to give them some idea of the significance of the reduction?
Mr. Gross, I like the idea of saying nominal amounts because I think it's the $2 and $1 each is, I mean, it's probably nominal, but I don't want that to feel like a catchphrase for you or like that somehow that sends the wrong message.
Okay.
If we said nominal amounts, would you be okay with that? Does it imply any criticism or?
Yeah, that'd be fine. You don't want to. Both kind of saying the same thing. And in the original one, we just said that it was lowered, so.
Ms. Eubanks, what was your suggestion again?
Instead of saying to $2 and $1, we'd say to a nominal amount or to nominal amounts. I guess because you've got two different amounts, so it should be to nominal.
Nominal amounts.
Nominal.
And no M-I-N.
Remove the specific dollar references.
Shall we just keep going then, if we're satisfied with that? And would there then be a comma Because I'm trying to figure out now, we want the 2011 to cover a series of things. Will a comma work there, and then we're going to find a place for a semicolon, I hope, somewhere. Maybe when we get to the income tax. Or no, I guess before that.
I'm thinking back to other measures we've set titles for, especially if we have to work in some of these other concepts like the voter approval requirement and the state's obligation to audit and refund, which I don't know would necessarily go with the phrase about starting in 2011 per se, but whether or not we could do parens with numbers in terms of the series of things.
Is the 2011, do we need it in there? I mean, this is going to be on the ballot, presumably, in November 2010, right? So the kind of typical time to start would be the next year. I don't know that it's... is any voter going to change their mind whether it goes into effect in 2011 versus... I don't think anyone would be shocked or misled if it... Now, if it says... If it was going to be on the ballot in 2010 and go into effect 10 years later, then that might be surprising and worth noting. But
Mr. Groves, any objection to removing the reference to 2011?
No, it's just a good way to...
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the first line, limits on sources of government revenue is the same as government revenue limits. Not sure what we did other than add a couple words.
Well, I'll just explain why I think that's better. That if this were to pass, the amount of revenue the government could take in could be, depending on what people do, any number. This doesn't effectively cap the amount of revenue the government can take in, which is, I think, what is typically understood, at least in a kind of technical Tabor sense, of being a revenue limit. Whereas what this definitely does do, no matter what people do, is put limits on various sources of revenue. It eliminates some, and so I don't necessarily disagree with you that if, depending on how you understand the concept of government revenue and the concept of a limit, that they're the same, but I think this is a little more precise in what it does.
Okay. Sources of government revenue? Concerning sources of government revenue?
Well, do you not like the... I mean, I would think you'd like the idea of including the word limit in there. But just saying sources of government revenue, I think, does capture the subject. It's just more broad than limits on it.
Okay.
But I would probably be in favor of it either way.
Cecily, I think on line four, I think there's a consensus to drop the phrase starting in 2011. And then that first clause would be reducing vehicle ownership taxes over 4 years to nominal amounts. Comma? Ending? We may be able to slip into some semicolons here, but I'm okay with... Well, I don't know. Probably setting the pattern here.
It says it in the petition, 2011. Add confusion because we didn't specify it in the title. Potentially could be put off down the road, potentially. Also, just when you refer to 4 years, it just helps the flow of it to know that you started somewhere, I guess. But
Well, I think Mr. Domenico's point was that you would expect this, a reader would expect this to take effect in 2011, and unless there's something unexpected, it's kind of surplus to say the obvious. And we're trying to simplify.
Yeah, I know. I like every time we can remove a word, that's a good thing.
We can go back at the end and see if we can and should add it back in, but I don't think it's critical, and I don't think if it's written this way and passed, there'd be any doubt it would go into effect, given its text. The text is what would control. It's pretty clear on that. So I don't think that's a concern. Shouldn't be.
I'll propose a semicolon where it says he's moving.
No, I think it should be a semicolon.
Okay. Then, let's see, then ending taxes on vehicle rentals and leases, semicolon. Phasing in over 4 years a $10,000 vehicle sales price tax exemption. Semicolon. And I'm just kind of going through this. It looks okay to me, so stop me if anybody sees a problem. Setting total yearly registration, license, and title charges at $10 per vehicle, semicolon. Repealing other specific vehicle charges, semicolon. Lowering the income tax rate to 4.5%, semicolon. Well, no, there we need to pause. And would it, I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to do that, and decreasing that rate to 3.5% over 10 or more years?
Yeah, I think that may need a little more explanation.
Maybe you could describe it more as a phasing it in.
Phasing.
Rate reduction to 3.5% upon certain conditions, because the time frame isn't set, because it's triggered by how much sales or income tax revenue is generated each year, or the net growth. And so whether you just talk about and phasing it in to 3.5, or you even have to mention upon the meeting of certain conditions or something like that. But I don't think the time frame really is helpful, because it, 10 or more, know that it's only going to be the 0.1% per year. So the soonest it could occur would be over a 10-year period, but I just don't know if the timing helps.
I don't have a simple way of dealing with it, so if anybody's inspired, speak up.
What if it said lowering the income tax rate to 4.5% and decreasing that rate by whatever it is, 0.1% yearly until reaching $3.5 3.5%. Now that I think about it, maybe decreasing that rate by 0.1% in each year that certain conditions are met until it reaches 3.5%. Or you could just quote that whole condition from the measure, which adds a little bit.
And I guess I'm taking a little bit different approach in terms of not getting into the specifics of how much the rate would be reduced annually upon meeting the condition. But what if you said something like lowering the income tax rate to 4.5% and phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5% upon meeting certain conditions? Don't have to talk about the maximum annual rate reduction that could occur if it's triggered. I don't know whether that's very helpful to the voters, whether just the concept of that it's the further reduction is phased in upon meeting certain conditions. I'm specific, but that
I think I'd be okay with that, too. You know, that's one. I think that at least would give the voters enough notice that if the details of how it's phased in and what the conditions are important to them, they can go look the things. They can go look at it, which I think is enough for me.
Or try to work in the concept of the 0.1% annual rate reduction, whether sort of taking what I said before, lowering the income tax rate to 4.5% and phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5% in increments of 0.1% annually upon certain conditions being met. I'm not sure I'm helping here.
That was pretty close to what I think I said. And
please.
Okay. Let's see. Where you a further reduction in the rate to 3.5% by maybe in increments. I don't know whether it would be by increments, in increments of 0.1% annually upon certain conditions being met. I don't know. Upon the meeting of certain conditions. So.
Okay, thanks for stopping by. Okay.
You know, to me, the increments is probably less important than the idea that the minimum is 10 years, which is what that'll take a long time to get there. So I don't know that you need the in increments of 0.01%. Even though that was my original suggestion too.
So if you said something like and phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5% over a period of time, let's see.
Depending on certain conditions being met.
On the occurrence of certain conditions.
Huh. compromise title that I gave you. I think that part of it says it pretty well with as few words as possible. Lowers the income tax rate to 4.5%, later decreases that rate to 3.5% over 10 years or more, but only a specified revenue growth occurs. That says what it's doing without the details. It's not deceiving or misleading or leaving anything out. It just doesn't get into cluttering it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think somewhere a combination of those two is pretty good. If you leave in phasing in a further reduction in the rate, because I think the incremental nature of it's kind of important and not captured in the draft that the proponent gave us. But then saying phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5 percent over 10 years or more if specified, I'm not sure revenue growth is quite right, but income tax revenue, what's the language in the draft? If specified income tax revenue growth occurs, that's pretty, I think that'd work.
Mr. Gross, any comment on that suggestion?
Well, if somebody wants the details, they can read the actual text of the petition, which will be in the blue book. Right under it, right under the title. The text is right under the title. So if someone's not sure of what, I mean, they can read them both at the same time. So I just like to try to summarize the petition, which is setting a title. I thought of it as like a book, you know, the title, you try to summarize it, you know, chapters versus, you can't put the whole thing in the table of context or on the cover of the book, otherwise you're just, I would suggest in the version in the compromise, the second title that I gave you. I think that gets to the point, and it does leave out the 1/110th, but it doesn't, because it says it's going to be over 10 years, so right away, 1% over 10 years, you know that's 1/10th. 1%, without even seeing the math work. You just intuitively know that that's what's happening right there. The tricky part is to explain how it only happens. It won't just be 10 years if you don't meet your revenue growth. I think that's the more... Because right here, it lowers the income tax rate to 4.5%, later decreases that rate to 3.5% over 10 years. You just said 0.1 per year. Right there, you said that. That's what you said, but only if specified revenue growth occurs.
Ms. Eubanks?
And this could be modified to whether we want to include the reference to the 0.1% annual increments. But if you said something like, and phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5%, over a period of time no shorter than 10 years, depending on the annual net growth in income tax revenue. That's specific. It even dropped the 10-year reference to the period of time and just say a further reduction in the rate to 3.5%. Over a period of time, depending upon the annual net growth in income tax revenue.
The other risk, the reason that you leave some of that out is because 0.1% annually, you can run into the confusion of if you're talking about 1% of 4.5%, but it's 1/10th of 1 percentage point. It's not, that part was a little tricky, you know. Versus like the way you calculate it on a car loan or something. We're talking increments here, not true percentage rate.
Yeah, I don't think the 0.01 is necessary. I kind of like where we have there. If you got rid of any increments of 0.01% annually upon certain conditions being met, I do think the 10 years, especially if you get rid of the 0.01%, is important to have in there. But I would probably get rid of the upon certain conditions being met. It's really only one condition, and you might as well just say what it is instead of that. And so phasing in a further reduction in the rate to 3.5% over 10 or more years is, I think, that works. And then if specified, and maybe instead of if, you say as specified income tax revenue growth occurs. I'm okay with if or as, but I think you need to say income tax revenue growth, because,
yes.
But other than that, I think it's, that's, yes, income tax on line 9.
My concern, I think, with what we have on the screen right now is that the if, it's a little ambiguous whether it's the reduction in the rate to 3.5% depends on the specified income tax revenue growth or the phasing in. And I think we intend it to be
the phasing in
on the phasing in, but it sort of reads to me like maybe you won't ever get to 3.5%.
Well, you may not, I guess, if the state income tax doesn't grow, but that was why I suggested as instead of but only if.
Mm-hmm.
You could say as would, but and at first I thought your concern was that there might be confusion about whether the but only if clause modified the lowering the rate to 4.5%.
That's a good point. I guess that's a possible reading that hadn't occurred to me.
I don't know that that's a major concern. You could fix that, I think. If it is a concern, by taking that clause and putting it after and on line 8 and comma if or comma if specified income growth occurs, phasing in a further reduction in the rate. I would say the same thing, but make clear that the if clause is part of the 3.5 phasing, not the whole thing.
Well, although I'm probably okay with not even talking about the condition. I mean, and just limiting it to phasing it in over 10 or more years, phasing it in to 3.5 over 10 or more years. Maybe that's too little, but the detail is how you phase it in, and it's 0.1 increments for those years in which the revenue growth meets that amount. That's kind of a detail to me. The point is it's being phased in over 10 or more years until you get to 3.5%.
Right. Left off to specified. In the original, the very short version, it doesn't have that at all. So
yeah, well, I mean, you could go further in the direction of the original and just say lowering the income tax rate. I don't know if that would satisfy anybody.
Over 10 or more years is kind of a compromise. You said it's going to be at least 10 years, but it's moderate, and it shows that it's based and it's got something behind it. And then you go down to the text right below it in the blue book, and it says exactly what's happening. So I like the way Mr. Hobbs said it, to just leave off the but only a specified income tax revenue growth occurs.
I guess, you know, I don't think that makes it misleading. I don't know how material I do think it's material, probably, if you're going to say this further rate is being phased in, to hint that it's kind of an uncertain, a conditional phasing in, but the 10 or more years maybe is enough of a to get that point across, that it's not a set, just that certain things have to happen. It's unclear. So is it? But does everybody still think you need any of the 4.5? Could you just say lowering the income tax rate?
I'm hesitant to do that just because, especially since you've got sort of the two-step reduction, I think it's helpful. They, just like we've said, what the cap is on the total yearly registration, license, and title charges. Give them that rate, and then that gives you a point to go forward in terms of the further reduction.
Yeah, I think once you, yeah, that's fine. I just.
But I'm okay with dropping the reference to the but only if. I think with the 10 or more years that gives, and with the phasing in, the fact that it's conditional, I think that's probably enough information.
That's okay with me. We just drop the
sure
the but only if clause.
Is that it? That,
all the way to the semicolon.
The semicolon. Okay.
Semicolon and then ending. I think. Picking up again after the semicolon would be ending state and local taxes and charges except 9/11 charges on telecommunication service customer accounts. It's okay to me.
And at least the issues that I have that I think need to be added, they're at the end. So we'd have a semicolon after account to talk about. And I think perhaps to, contrary to the way the staff drafted it, to lump them together, phrase, making certain additional charges on vehicles and telecommunication service customer accounts tax increases. Semicolon. Perhaps the phrase that was in the staff draft and requiring the state to verify local conformity yearly and to refund all revenue violating the government. Violating. Now that we've changed the single subject, I don't know whether you want to call it. Maybe we say violating this measure.
Violating the government revenue limits. I'm sorry, and violating government revenue sources.
Yeah, the limits on government revenue sources.
I think those are the two components I feel strongest about being included.
Well, shall we try to get that up on there, if you'll guide Ceci through that, Ms. Eubanks?
So, right where you are, uh-huh. Making certain additional charges on vehicles. And telecommunication service customer accounts tax increases.
Plural or singular, and then semicolon.
Yeah, okay. And requiring the state verify local conformity fund all revenue violating the limits sources of government revenue. Is there something else we want to add?
Anything else we should have in there?
He wants to go the other way.
And I would, first of all, rephrase, I think, both of those. And I'm not sure I think the second point is material worth including. I mean, maybe it is. I just don't. It's sort of hard for me to imagine how many local governments, if this is a state statute, are going to regularly go around imposing illegal things that are illegal on phone bills or that sort of thing. And so I'm not sure. I think that's it's interesting and kind of different. I just don't know if it's material enough for a title.
And 2 points I'd like to make. One is I do think that if, for whatever reason, that does happen and the state has to refund monies, even though it may be unlikely in our minds that a government would violate this provision, that the fact that then the state has less revenue spend on what it normally would spend it on, voters might be surprised to find out that they approve that. The other thing I was going on is that there have been past measures structured differently, but a series of tax cuts or tax credits against various taxes and fees that had this same sort of auditing and it wasn't a refund obligation, it was the state had to replace the local revenue lost because of the tax cuts or credits. And though that concept was consistently included in titles that really this board but previous ballot title boards have set. And so
and that's when the voters can approve a referendum on the spending limits, and there definitely will be a revenue decrease that the state has to make the difference of. That's in our constitution. But this is just for enforcement. And Governor Ritter calls Kersey and says, "You owe us that money. My city's going to pay it right away." I mean, it's not. I don't. And if they're going to fight it, they're going to have to go to court over it. You know.
Well, let me just ask you a question I should have asked at the beginning. This, I assume, your intent is that this would, that despite that provision, that this is privately enforceable. Any individual can sue, either the local government or the state or both. I mean, I guess.
Right. The state doesn't have to go around and handle every single issue. It would only be if there was an issue and a citizen brought it forward, and then the state could handle it however they wanted, whether it went through the court process or somebody just said, hey, what's going on here? Was that your question?
Mm-hmm.
It says it in the enforcement section of the petition.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Is if a citizen sees a concerned citizen is reading their city's budget and says, wait a second, we're collecting a lot more revenue than we're supposed to, and then that would set the wheels into motion. But until that happened, nothing at all would happen. Versus when the school district loses money, the state automatically has to repay it, and they pay quite a bit of it. So it's a different situation.
Well, if you guys think it should be in there, I don't feel strongly. I just not sure. I would say it's absolutely necessary, but I don't think it's necessary to leave it out either, for sure. So if everybody else wants it, I'll move on to trying to clarify, I think, some of the language on both of those, which I think is confusing in some ways. On the tax increase part, I really find the way it's written confusing. If you were just starting from scratch, to me, that clause is basically saying, suggests that somewhere in here there are you're approving tax increases or something. To me, I was just sort of thinking, declaring that any, well, I guess any is maybe not. Declaring that. Certain additional charges on vehicles and telecom accounts be considered tax increases or something like that.
Or maybe stating that certain additional charges are tax increases?
The problem with saying are is that that suggests that they exist. And as I understand it, this is about saying if you want to come back in the future and add a new charge, that is a tax increase. And so that's my problem with the current version, and I think with saying R.
Well, we could use the language as it's used in the measure itself about stating that certain additional charges shall be tax increases.
That's better, yeah. That's what it says for both.
This shall be in both places
mm-hmm.
in the measure.
Yeah.
I think we'd remove making, and I don't know whether you want to say stating or specifying. You guys have a preference? Doesn't matter.
Stating is fine.
And after account, line 9, insert shall be. I guess we needed that. Up on yeah, sorry. Stating that certain additional charges shall be tax increases.
Say all additional
additional charges on vehicle and telecommunications service customer accounts shall be tax increases. Anything other than in the petition, so it's all of them. I'm trying to say. I think that's what you're trying to. You're trying to let the voters know what they're getting into. All additional charges shall be taxes.
And I guess I'm a little uncomfortable doing that because you've made exceptions to that statement, such as the last six specific charges, which are the fine, toll, parking, seizure, inspection, and new plate charges. So, I mean, without that sort of context or the exception for the 911 fees, all added charges shall be tax increases, that it's, I'm trying to convey that it's not every charge because you've made those exceptions.
All charges not listed referenced are will be taxed.
And I guess that's the same sort of concept I was trying to get across with the use of certain without getting into that much detail. But I'm open to doing it a different way if the title board. There's a different way to do it that's better.
Well, the only way you could do it, I think, because there is something to what both of you are saying, stating that with the exception of certain specified charges, all additional charges, and then go on from there. I don't know that that helps or makes things worse.
You'd say specified additional charges?
Stating that, well, no, it'd be sort of the opposite. Okay. Stating that with the exception of certain specified charges, okay, any additional charges on these would be or shall be tax increases.
And I'm fine with that. If you want to take a stab.
Is that any better or is that worse? It adds words, but it gets a little closer.
See it up there.
Okay, yeah.
Adhere to yourself.
Stating that with certain specified exceptions.
Exceptions,
yeah. Any, and then the rest of it's as is, I think. And you might want a comma after exceptions.
Or the width and
whatever. Yeah, you can do that too.
Stating that, comma.
Mr. Gross?
Yes. On telecommunications service customer accounts, stating that other than the previously mentioned charges, all new charges are tax increases. Certain specified exceptions, I mean, that sounds like you're talking about something else that we haven't covered, but we have covered it. Or you need to say the exceptions in the petition or something so it doesn't take somebody's mind out away, like what certain specified exceptions? Because it's the ones in the petition, and it's the ones that you listed in the title, actually.
Well, but we haven't listed them in the title. That's the problem.
Okay.
Right? Because the exceptions we're talking about are for vehicles, fines, tolls, parking, seizure, and for...
But
well, we did list the 911
charge. That's the only one that you used.
Yeah, and so that's why I didn't want to. If we had listed it, you could say that.
I see, because they're not all in there.
Yeah, that's the only problem with that. That's pretty good. I might suggest changing additional to added, since that's the word in the measure itself, and I don't know, they're probably the same, but why risk any confusion?
Okay, agreed. Any other changes?
In terms of the last sentence, and I don't know, Mr. Domenico might have some ideas, whether it might be more meaningful, although I know that the language is reflecting the language in the measure, but instead of saying requiring the state to verify local conformity yearly, maybe we would say and requiring the state to annually verify local compliance. That might be a little clearer, but it deviates from the language of the measure, but I don't know. To me, conformity is a unusual word, and whether verifying compliance might mean more to voters.
Mr. Gross, any objection to using compliance instead of conformity?
So I think we would put annually before verify. Then remove conformity yearly. Replace it with compliance.
You know, the pedants are going to come after you for your split infinitive, but I like it. I like split infinitives. And I thought... I was trying to think of a way to avoid kind of the problem you were having with the single subject or violating what exactly.
Right.
And I was sort of thinking you might add right there after compliance, annually verify local compliance with these provisions or something like that. And to refund all revenue violating them, or all revenue received in violation of them, or something like that. I don't know that that helps or makes any difference.
To annually verify local compliance with the limits imposed by this measure, so that you don't have to and I don't know what you do with the refund part, but maybe you say and to refund all revenue found in violation of such limits. Or just, you know,
but what about just all to refund all revenue received or something in violation of the limits? I don't know. Maybe it's okay as it is.
The petition has and refund all revenue violating this reform. So that's pretty straightforward. Well,
so what about all revenue violating this measure?
That'll probably work also. That'd be fine.
Okay with measure. Dismeasure.
I guess you could also call it this amendment, since that's what you call it at the beginning, but I don't know if that adds confusion. People tend to think of an amendment as a constitutional thing, but we have already used it.
I'm okay as is, or that way.
Okay. I don't think we mentioned repealing the alternative minimum tax. Is that significant?
$2.8 million. Really insignificant compared to everything else. Very insignificant. Doesn't really play in Colorado at all, and in lost productivity. People that have to check their taxes twice and have to, and the people on your end that have to do the little bit of amount. All right, so I didn't think it needed to be added in the title.
Do you have any idea how many taxpayers it affects?
No, the Department of Revenue report.
That's all right. I'm just curious.
Have a meeting I need to attend.
Mr. Kneiser, yeah.
It was something that Ms. Eubanks brought up, triggered election about. Yeah, I just don't recall specifically, but I want to. Had to do with the state. Vague recollection, court found audit requirements under a violation of recollection. I'm not sure.
I think it would be pretty important for us to know if there is, you know, case law support for that. It seems like that would be pretty relevant.
What I would suggest, because it just may take me a little bit to get a hold of, what I would suggest is that I will attempt to I'll get copies of the case to the board and to the proponents. It can be discussed for.
I mean, and so Mr. Kneiser and Mr. Gross, then would there be any problem with us completing our action on setting the titles to this point and then laying final consideration over to the next board meeting on March 18th and then taking final action on March 18th? Is that procedurally okay, Mr. Kneiser?
Yes, I believe it is, and I will get that case one way or another to Mr. Gross. It supports the concept that it's a single subject can be discussed, and that if it doesn't, then.
Would you have any objection, Mr. Gross? Okay. But I suggest then, thank you, Mr. Kneiser. I really appreciate your pointing that out.
And I apologize. I just can't remember the outcome of the case. I remember it was an issue. I apologize.
I think our intent was. Might have to go back to court again. That's the intent of the petition, regardless of case law.
Okay.
Because sometimes they don't get those quite right, or not according to what we thought Tabor was trying to say. So.
Well, let's go ahead and preliminarily complete title setting, and then we'll lay over final action until the next board meeting would be my intent. So any other suggested changes to the staff draft? I'd probably prefer to include the repeal of the alternative minimum tax, but I don't feel strongly about it. It's another thing that's going on here. We clearly talk about the rate reduction but...
Well, I think it's easy enough. I mean, it's fairly short.
The inclusive phrase that says eliminates the alternative minimum tax, that doesn't mean a lot in terms of words and in terms of...
So...
After the phrase talking about the income tax rate reduction.
Yeah.
So before the phrase that starts taxes and charges there.
Repealing the alternative minimum tax. Objection to that?
I don't think it's necessary, but I don't have a problem with it.
Say income tax, or I mean, I know the measure just calls it the alternative minimum tax, but
It's in the income tax section.
It is in income, so it'd be alternative minimum income tax.
It's the only alternative minimum tax there is on the tax.
I just would like to have it in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
If there's no other changes, I guess we adopted a motion amending the title, the staff draft, with respect to the single subject expression. I guess I'd just go ahead and move all of the other changes that we have made to this point as additional changes. I'll move that.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. And I just remark for the record, of course, any changes that we're making in the title, which is now lines 1-7, the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause that begins in what is now line 12 on the screen. If there's no other suggestions, then I guess I would then move that the board lay over further action until its next meeting on March 18th.
Second.
That's. And Mr. Gross, assuming we adopt that motion, do you or any of us have? I would suggest that we meet at 2 o'clock, and we can actually decide that later, but. Do you know right off if you?
It should be fine.
Okay, let's assume it's 2 o'clock, but we'll check schedules later. But it's been moved and seconded that we lay over further action until March 18th. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes today's agenda, and the time is 3:57 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Almost.
I guess if that case law means that it's not single subject, then I guess we'll just have to take out that enforcement part of it and then reason.